All right, everyone. I hope you guys are doing well. You are on the Wednesday Night Healthy Body Challenge call, and I am your host, Coach Jeevers. Hopefully, we have gotten a chance to meet throughout my wonderful years at Youngevity, but I hope to meet those of you that I have not in Dallas. I hope you guys have signed up for the Dallas convention. It is going to be awesome because it is our 20th anniversary, and the Wallachs and the Briskies and the Alex Tices and the Lauren Castronovas and all of the wonderful people at corporate are going to put on quite a show. And we're going to have a lot of new announcements for products. We're going to have a lot of new announcements for new personalities and faces and leading experts. And we're just going to have a lot of fun because, you know, Youngevity's kind of greatest gift, I think, to all of us is to create an incredible community of people that are really passionate about their health and really passionate about their wellness and development, right? Because, you know, at first, I guess we started as a nutrition company, but we've become so much more than that. You know, it's OmniLife as we talk about, you know, where there's just so many different types of products and different types of passions and different types of tools to help you to develop yourselves and to develop your business, you know, because Youngevity is not only in the business of developing really great products for all of us to consume and all of us to use, but also to develop an amazing opportunity for those who take a hold of it and be able to create an incredible sense of purpose and a sense of revenue, income, you know, and all of the things that go along with having a family and a team of people to kind of do that with, right? So anyways, guys, hopefully I'll see you in Dallas, and I'll actually be introducing a couple new products and personalities myself. You shall see something new coming out here in the next few weeks. I'm not going to tip you guys off, but it's going to be pretty cool. But so one of the things that I kind of wanted to talk about today, I know you guys were probably like, what? Like, seriously, you're going to spend this time talking about peanuts? But it's kind of a little thing that I'm doing from now until convention, and that's going over each of the 10 bad foods or 10 bad things that Dr. Wallach has kind of talked about the last 50 years. You know, he's been a real pioneer in understanding the value of nutrition and the value of some of the things that, you know, were very concerning now, but were things that, you know, people hadn't really done a lot of research in except for Dr. Wallach 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. My last call that I did last week touched on oils, right? Because a lot of us have learned the value and the benefit of oils, right? Olive oil. You know, there was that time in our lives in which, you know, everybody was putting olive oil on everything, you know, right? And olive oil was so great. And then this year it's been coconut oil, right? And oils just kind of come up every once in a while, and they come up in the culinary arts, and it comes up in the health arts as well, too. And then obviously there's certain cultures, obviously, that will use more of these oils. But what I kind of talked about on last week's call was that no one has issues with the oil that's inherently found in the food. But once you actually take that oil out of the food, out of its inherent natural source and matrix. So once you actually squeeze that olive and take that olive oil from the olive, because of the way that it's structured, it's incredibly vulnerable to oxidation. And oxidation is just a fancy word of spoilage. And this very delicate oil that's very vulnerable is vulnerable to toxicity because it oxidizes. And this is why Dr. Wallach, you know, tells everyone to not use oils, because it is not only something that once it's taken out of its inherent food source, becomes oxidized and becomes a different structured fat. But oils are one of those things that we are very easy to consume a lot of, because, you know, just in a little bit of oil, you know, in a teaspoon of oil, or in a quarter to a tablespoon of oil, or how we actually cook foods in certain oils, and we use a lot of them, you can take on a lot of this toxicity. You can take on a lot of these calories, and you can take on a lot of these kind of empty nutrients as well, too. So anyways, I talked about that on last week's call, and so this week's call, I wanted to kind of touch on something that Dr. Wallach has talked about that many people are like, whoa, wait a second, seriously? I've always thought that nuts were really good, and I thought that nuts were healthy, and specifically, I thought peanuts were okay, you know, right? And I think for anyone that's kind of listening to this, we're all kind of cringing because we associate, you know, peanut butter with these, like, really nice, sweet, like, warm childhood memories of, like, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, right? They taste so, so good. And actually, a friend of mine and I were talking about how when you were a kid and your mom would, you know, at least my mom would make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on, like, Wonder Bread, right? And I haven't had this in a while. But like a couple of years ago, I was over at a friend's place and he had Wonder Bread and he had peanut butter, like Jif peanut butter and Welch's grape like jelly. And I was starving and I was like, okay, let me put this on, let me make a peanut butter jelly sandwich. And I knew it was terrible, right? But goodness gracious, you bite into that thing and you're just like, holy cow, like this taste, this was like firing out every pleasure neuron that was in my brain, right? Because it's just sugar, right? It's the three worst things that you could put into your body, right? Fat, sugar, and salt, right? That is the three, like, terrible, terrible things. But anyways, you know, it's just kind of something that, you know, when we talked about these oils, these peanuts, you know, it's like, are they really all that bad for you? I was reading a study a while ago, and it showed that eating peanuts actually reduced the risk of cardiovascular disease. And the cool thing about this study was it showed that not only that it reduced the risk of cardiovascular disease, but it also caused an individual not to promote weight gain. So there was no promotion in weight gain, and it lowered triglyceride levels, and it had all these kind of significant things that were kind of happening. And then it talked about how, you know, peanuts had magnesium and folate and vitamin E and fiber and all of these kind of, you know, really, really great things for you. However, they also missed a few things as well, too, you know, right? And what they kind of missed is that peanuts are loaded with omega-6 fats, which are the very pro-inflammatory type of fat. And not only is that it has a lot of omega-6 fats, the ratio to omega-3 to omega-6 is really, really whacked out. Actually, and that's one of the things I don't know if you guys recognize, is that everybody always talks about omega-3 and how great omega-3 fatty acid is, and it is, because it is the heart-healthy fat. It is the one that healthy cholesterol and healthy fat is made out of. And it's actually a very non-inflammatory fat, and it's a fat that actually creates and develops hormones. It's the building block of hormones. But not only is omega-3 valuable for your body, but actually the body actually needs a ratio of omega-3 to omega-6. And actually omega-3 is best absorbed when it's in an environment where there's a particular ratio of omega-3 to omega-6. But whenever that balance is off, it becomes very detrimental for the body. And not only is it detrimental because what's throwing it off, which is the omega-6, is inherently inflammatory, but then when the ratios of omega-3 to omega-6 is off, they actually compete for the same type of receptors that are in the body, and they compete for the same areas of the body in which fat is deposited. And so essentially, if you have a lot of omega-6, it starts to compete with the omega-3. It crowds the omega-3 away, and all of a sudden you create areas of the body that are supposed to be areas where there's healthy fat, where become areas where there's areas of unhealthy fat. So around organs to keep them warm, around nerves to insulate the electric conduction that takes place in the nerve cell and the nerve dendrite and things like that. And then also in the brain, because the brain's like 80% of fat. And so if you start flooding the brain in those areas with the unhealthy fat, you create a high sense of vulnerability. So anyways, in a peanut, the ratio, the healthy ratio of omega 6 to omega 3 should be around 2 to 1. So it should be around 2 to 1, right? So for every 2 grams of omega 6, you should be consuming about 1 gram of omega 3, and that's a very healthy ratio. It's a good ratio for those omegas to actually be utilized and absorbed and metabolized. But in peanuts, the ratio goes as high as 20 to 1. And so you actually have a ton more of omega-6 than you do omega-3, right? And so anyways, guys, that's one of the issues. But the biggest issue that Dr. Wallach talks a lot about is peanuts are very, very susceptible to contaminants. And I don't know if you guys know this, but peanuts are actually not a nut. Peanut is a legume. It's a bean. And peanuts are grown underground, okay? And peanuts are the only nut, if you will, okay, right, if we want to call it that, that has a soft shell. It doesn't have a hard shell like a walnut or a Brazilian nut or a pecan. You know, these are extremely hard shells, but a peanut actually has a very soft shell, and it's grown underground where there's a lot of moisture, okay, right? And the issue with having a soft shell and being grown underground where there's a lot of moisture is that there's a toxin that is produced called aflatoxin, and aflatoxin is a known carcinogen. And not only is it a known carcinogen, but it's actually associated with impairment of the liver and liver cancer. And many of you, maybe you guys know this, but I'm a huge, huge believer on the health of the liver and the value of the liver. I read a lot of work that's done by Dr. Gerson, if you guys know of him, his Gerson therapy with cancer, and his kind of philosophies on this, and Dr. Ruben Gonzalez out of New York, and just a lot of different groups of people who have talked about the value of the liver and how the fact that the liver is kind of one of the first places in which disease and illnesses begin to take their root. And the reason why that is because I'm not trying to say that all diseases and illnesses come from the liver. I'm saying that liver is the body's primary detoxifying organ, and it is the organ in which all food, all vitamins, all drugs, all pollutants, all toxins, anything must go through the liver and become inert or become active when it's beneficial for your body to be able to deal with and manage and to utilize. And whenever that area of the body is not working properly, you're going to get toxicity. And when you get toxicity, you get illness and disease. And so anyways, aflatoxin is a known carcinogen that is linked significantly to the liver and liver cancer, right? And aflatoxin is really bad, guys. Like, it's been shown to stunt growth in children. It has obviously major issues with the liver and impedes its primary function, which is detoxifying and fat burning, right? And so when you've got an unhealthy liver or clogged liver or a liver that's not being able to function properly, you won't be able the ability to metabolize fat, because fat is metabolized, broken down in the liver. It's repackaged in the liver so that it can be removed from the body. So when we are overweight and we're losing weight, that fat just doesn't vaporize. It just doesn't kind of go out of your mouth or your skin or whatever. It must be taken to the liver to be repackaged and to be sent out of the body. And when the liver is not working properly, you don't have proper fat burning. When you don't have the proper fat burning, then you get greater toxicity, because fat is toxic, right? And so like I said, you know, the biggest issue, you know, whenever somebody asks you, well, what are you talking about? Why are peanuts so bad? You know, why should I watch out for them? Why should they be kind of one of the last nuts that I should consume? You should simply say, well, the reason why that is because peanuts, out of all of the other nuts, are very susceptible to having a certain carcinogen, a certain mold grow on its body, on its fruiting body. It's the peanut, and what it is it's aflatoxin. And the reason why that is because it doesn't have this hard and protective shell that most other nuts have, and that because it is soft, it is very permeable to all these types of molds and moisture, because it's grown underground. And so you're essentially at the mercy of the temperature and moisture conditions in the ground. And like many of you know, molds are grown when there is humidity, when there is moisture, and then when there is cool kind of temperatures, right? And so even, by the way, if you're eating organic peanuts, you know, remember, guys, just because something's organic doesn't mean it's healthy. You know, I get that stuff all the time, and it's like people are like, oh, dude, this is okay, it's organic. I'm like, no, dude, the problem is it's just that it doesn't have, to a certain degree, the insecticides and pesticides that were put on it for it to grow. And it may have even a certain percentage of it, but it's a percentage that the FDA allows it to actually be able to say that it's organic. It doesn't mean that it's 100% void of pesticides and insecticides and all that sort of stuff. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is, well, just because it doesn't have those things doesn't mean that the food itself is healthy, or necessarily the food itself has any type of nutrient value, right? And so you've got to be very careful of that, you know, right? And so anyways, peanuts, you'll notice, obviously, there's a lot of people who have allergies to them. And there's brand new, you know, it seems like when I was a kid, there wasn't people, kids especially, not being able to eat peanuts and not being able to smell peanuts and having all this aphylactic trauma when eating peanuts, right? But it's due to, like, a lot of allergies, right? And one of the things is a thing called lectins, you know, lectins. And then, by the way, lectins are also in soy as well, too. And so they're in, like, they're mostly in beans, and they're in things like soy, right? And basically, they're very, like to, how do I explain it? So lectin is actually it's actually a protein, okay, right? It's a sticky type of protein, okay, right? And they were actually, it actually served a purpose, to tell you the truth, is that it's actually it repels or it resists pests, okay, right? Like every plant has its own way of living, right, and protecting itself. And one of the ways that beans specifically protect themselves is that they have a protein called lectin. And this lectin, because it's sticky, it's really hard to digest for for insects and pests and things like that. And so they tend to stay away from them, right? But these lectins, they also bind to sugars in the cell, and it actually can, that's what oftentimes creates an inflammatory response or a heightened immune response, which is what an allergen is, right? And so basically it just creates like this perfect environment for inflammation to happen, right? And it can cause everything from the different types of itises, right? Because essentially that is inflammation, like arthritis and things like that, okay, right? And also it can cause problems to people that want to manage their weight as well too, right? Because it has this, number one, it has this toxicity, but then the second thing is this protein actually almost mimics like insulin behaviors in the human body. And so insulin is something that you don't want to increase or have kept increased in the body. And so lectins kind of do that. And so that's one of the big things that you have going on with peanuts and with legumes kind of in general. But then the second thing is, like I said earlier, is that it's very pro-inflammatory. And the reason why that is because it has that high level of omega-6 fatty acid. Now, like I said, your body still needs omega-3 and omega-6 for really good health. But omega-6 is one of those things that if your body gets too much of, it's going to have a very inflammatory type of effect. And then obviously, like I said earlier, is that the problem is you've got a very high sense of, well, actually, you also have to think about it like this too. Don't forget is that the way that peanuts are grown and how much we actually consume peanuts, because of peanut butter and things like that, right? It's anything that we consume a lot of, you have to be really careful about how we grow it, because the agricultural society or group or whatever sector is keeping up with consumption. And that's why I just got in this huge discussion with somebody, and not a huge discussion, but a discussion the other day with a guy. And he was kind of from the agricultural sector, if you will, you know, right? And he made a good point. He said, listen, you know, we wouldn't be developing all these different types of seeds and different types of resistances and different types of chemicals and different types of things if we weren't consuming so much food. Because we're just trying to keep up with the amount of consumption that people are doing. Now, I think that there's a few points in that whole thing that are a little bit weak, you know, right? You would think that maybe, anyways, I don't want to get on the discussion. But the whole point is that anytime that you're going to consume foods that are high in consumption right now or eat foods that are high in consumption, they're often going to be laden with GMOs and pesticides and fungicides and all that sort of stuff that keeps these foods from spoiling or growing more than they should easier, because you're essentially trying to keep up with all the consumption that people are doing. And you may not be the one that are consuming a lot of it, but definitely other people are for whatever reason. Like I said, hey, that that Wonder Bread with, you know, Jif peanut butter and grapes, Welch's grape jelly or whatever it was, definitely made me feel sick right after I ate it. But while I was eating it, I was like, holy cow, dude, this is like candy. You know what I mean? And it basically was like candy. And some people are very susceptible to eating only the candy, right? Eating the good things, okay, right? And so anyway, I think that it's, peanuts are kind of one of those things where there's definitely some risks in consuming them, okay? And if you're going to consume them as your major nut, then I think that you've got a problem. I think that there are places that you can buy peanuts that don't have some of these risks, like specifically the alpha toxin. I was reading that, you know, like, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that brand called Arrowhead Mills, but it's got this like old dude, and you can find the stuff at Trader Joe's, and they have like flaxseed and all that sort of stuff, but they actually have an Arrowhead Mills like organic peanut butter. And I remember reading about this peanut butter, and those peanut butters, like the peanuts are grown in New Mexico. And I guess there's been like very little reports of alpha toxin for peanuts that are grown in New Mexico. Okay. Right. And so I think you got to kind of do a little bit of digging to find out what are the best kind of peanuts for that. But that still doesn't solve the whole omega-3, omega-6 distorted kind of ratio, okay, right? And that's where you got problems, okay, right? And so here's the thing, guys. I'm somebody who does eat nuts, different types of nuts, because it's a healthy snack, the ones that I choose. It helps me to get in healthy fats, which I think are very important to consume, you know, right, on a daily basis. And I know that many of you are on the ketogenic diet, which promotes the consumption of high healthy fats, and nuts can be a nice way to kind of do that, right? And, and you know, guys, don't let me forget, remember, some people are always like, should I eat raw nuts or should I eat roasted nuts? And I don't know if you guys know this, but roasted nuts are better than eating raw nuts. And the reason why is because when you start roasting nuts, they'll actually remove a lot of these anti-nutrients. And the anti-nutrients are all of those nutrients that the plant has or the nut has, in this particular example, to help to protect itself. And so you'll actually burn away some of those things. But you roasting them is different than burning them, okay, right? Like, don't overcook them, if you will. It's just supposed to be kind of lightly roasted, you know, right? And so for those of you that are on the ketogenic diet, you already know that peanuts are one of those things that you avoid anyways, because it's a bean and it acts like a bean. And so therefore it's not best to have on the ketogenic diet. But even in that, you want to stay away from it, because out of all of the nuts, it's not necessarily the greatest source of fats, and that's really what you're trying to get out of the nuts. And you want to have low carbohydrates. And so you'd like to find a nut that has high amount of healthy fat but low amount of carbohydrate. And you also would like to find a nut that has less omega-6 but more omega-3. That's kind of like your perfect nut. So here's the thing. Some of the best nuts for that are macadamia nuts, Brazilian nuts, pecans, walnuts and almonds are always great. Those are my two go-to nuts. I should buy them from Costco. I buy the big bags of walnuts and almonds, and I put them in the food processor, and I blend them into a powder, and I basically have this kind of walnut almond powder, and I put it into everything. I mean everything. I put it to make things, say, sauces thicker. I put it on my vegetables. I put it on things to make it crunchy, if I want something that's crunchy. I mean, I put it on anything and everything, you know, right? And then if you're on the ketogenic diet, the ones that are you want to avoid, probably the two biggest ones that you want to avoid because they're highest in carbohydrates, is cashews and pistachios. Now, if you're not on the ketogenic diet, the pistachios and cashews, especially Keisha, cashews aren't bad for you because they do have a high amount of omega-3 rather than omega-6. And so anyways, guys, I hope that was valuable for you. That's one of the things that I know everyone kind of questions when they hear or they read about Dr. Wallach's 10 good and bad lists. Now you know why peanuts are not necessarily the healthiest nut for you. And so join me next week, and I will cover another topic as well, too, on the 10 good and bad lists, unless I see something really cool that happened in the news. But do not go anywhere, because we have Leanne King, who will be talking about essential oils. And so I will now hand the call off to her. So, Leanne, are you out there? Leanne, let me get this off of mute, maybe.